Well, as you know, our sermon series for this these Wednesday evening meditations comes from the Sermon on the Mount. I was just thinking, you know, they call what Pastor Jack and I and Vicar Hannah do a sermon, but how do we compare with the Sermon on the Mount, right? I mean, it's like, but anyway, as we look at the Sermon on the Mount, after the series of Beatitudes designated were very expensive, both designated a service beyond oneself. They expressed something more than just what the word said. And both of them, Jesus said, are important in human experience. Now, the interesting thing was that the Romans in Jesus' day had an interesting statement. They said, there is nothing more useful than the sun and salt. Now, in this lesson from Matthew, Jesus addresses these two symbols as characteristics of those people who occupy his kingdom people, if you will, and how they react or how they interact with society. The two symbols refer to not only an enriching, but a preservative influence in the Christian life. And that preserving influence in the world, and therefore the influence that we have in our witness as people of Christ to those who have not yet heard. Now, if I remember right from my English teacher, you're not supposed to mix metaphors, right? Okay. But Jesus gets away with it, okay? He mixes metaphors in this statement. In the Sermon on the Mount, he calls us salt and he calls us light. Now, if the Beatitudes show us how to be uniquely blessed, as we saw last week, these two word pictures of salt and light show us that our uniqueness as children of God is meant to make a difference in the world. You see, it's one thing to be different. It's another thing to make a difference. So you are the salt of the earth. Now that suggests for us three things: purity, preservation, and flavor. Now, in Roman times, salt symbolized purity. And no doubt that came from the process of using seawater and the sun to extract the salt from the water. In fact, Roman soldiers were often paid in salt. Thus, we have an English word called salary. Yeah, very good, all right? It came from that act of paying soldiers with salt. And Jesus then uses this symbol of salt to describe the disciple, to describe the emphasis, the call, the influence of purity that the Christian disciple is supposed to have on the world and on the society. Now, as you also know, salt was also a very important preservative. You know, there were no refrigerators, you know, things that we take for granted, or as some of us remember, ice boxes, right? Okay, that's what I used to call it. But that meaning that Jesus expresses here is a warning, or he shares a warning about that in Luke chapter 14, about salt losing its savor, losing its ability to preserve. You know, meat was unless it was heavily salted, it spoiled. And so, in a very similar way, the disciple, a member of the kingdom of God, is supposed to be, or is, a preserving element in the society. Now, I think today we know that people walk away from the church often because they just can't see what difference the church is making in the world or in their own lives for that matter. And others stay away completely for the same reason. Years ago, Mahatma Gandhi, who was the spiritual leader of India, was asked by some of the missionaries, what is the greatest obstacle to Christianity in India? And Gandhi answered, Christians. You know, sometimes isn't it difficult to distinguish Christians from the rest of the world? So the salt and light word pictures just don't go away. And they just don't let us get away with that. They presume that the world and the church are different. And if we Christians then are the salt of the earth, then the earth must need preserving. Otherwise, it's going to go bad. And if we are the light of the world, then the world must be a dark place that needs the light of God's people. So you are the light of the world. Now, light is a symbol of radiance, of openness, of joy, that sort of goes along with the beatitudes that were expressed in the blessedness that was expressed in the beatitudes. You know, there's nothing secretive about the Christian life or the Christian movement. There's nothing secret about our commitment to Jesus. The disciple is described as the light of the world, an influence on openness and honesty, for acceptance, for love. It's not a call to monasticism, to retreat from life, but it is a call instead to be filled and to show the joy of being in fellowship with God and the joy of what it means to be able to witness of what God has done for us to the world. You know, one commentator put it this way. He said, disciples must not hide themselves, but live and work in places where their influence can be felt. What's so heartening about Jesus' images of salt and light in these metaphors is his utter confidence that his disciples are going to make and were making a difference in the world. And when you think about it, you know, that kind of a confidence is absolutely amazing, considering how few followers he had at the point that he said this, and how unlikely a group of influencers they were on the society. But in Jesus' statement, there's no skepticism whatsoever. He doesn't even think here about an irrelevant church or a church that's turned in on himself. He declares Christians to be salt and light, a fact. Not some kind of future hope, but a present reality. Salt and light. This is who you are. Now, I know some of you might not remember this reference, but it's kind of like Popeye, right? Yeah, those of you who remember Popeye, some of you maybe, Spencer even said today he remembered Popeye, all right? But if you remember, he said, I am what I am, okay, and that's what I am, okay? We are salt. We are light. That's what we am if you will. And so underneath those two word pictures is this deep love and concern for the world. The church doesn't hate the world. God doesn't hate the world. Our Creator God, in fact, has gone out of His way to preserve and enlighten the world. You know, I know we're sometimes upset with it, but government was God's idea to hold the world back from chaos. And the home and our families, that was God's idea too, to bring order and beauty to human relationships. You see, God has an amazing love for His creation. And it's in this sense that we need to hear that the light and salt metaphors describe us as the church. God has put us, the church, on earth, not to blend into it, but to save it. We are here for the world, just as Christ was here for the world. You know, John 3:16 does not say, God so loved Richard Paul that he, you know. No, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That's why an isolated church is not God's intent. Now, I find this, unfortunately, more than I would like with my involvement in interim ministry. But not long ago, this is true, there is a member of a declining church in the Midwest who said, and I quote, "I know we won't be here for long, but I just want our church to be here long enough so that those of us who are left can be buried in the church cemetery." Now, how's that for a mission statement? I mean, that statement is disturbing on several levels. It certainly is self-serving and self-centered. And secondly, it focuses on death, not on life. It's almost as if it's thrown in the towel as far as that church's love for the world is concerned. Because you see, until Christians love the world as God loved the world, we will not be salt and light. Have you ever noticed that in order to make an impact, salt has to have contact? Salt that stays in the salt shaker is useless. And we Christians then are like that. To follow Jesus, we have to make contact. We need to know and to love the people of God that He has placed around us, our neighbors, our classmates, our friends, our co-workers, our family members. We need to love our corner of the world enough to change it, to renew it, to nurture it, to serve it. That's why Jesus prayed the night before He was betrayed and before He died on the cross. And that's why He assured His Father, "As You sent Me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." In other words, Father, through them, through this ragtag bunch of disciples and followers, I'll shake the salt shaker and I will turn on the light for the world. Now think for a moment, how does that make you feel? I remember an old cartoon in the old New Yorker that had a wife saying to her husband, "Well, maybe we aren't salt of the earth, but we're salt of the Upper East Side." And you have to admit that that's the follower that feels pretty good about themselves. You know, we, if you will, Sermon on the Mount Christians, you know, we may not have an influence that extends throughout the entire world, across the face of the earth, but we do have our own sphere, our own part of the stage, if you will, where God gives us the chance to live out the drama of the kingdom of God. We are on a playing field. We're in an arena. And in that arena, we are called to be salt and light. There's a great observation from an unknown 12th century monk who made then this observation has made the round in the church for centuries. This is what he wrote. He said, "When I was a young man, I wanted to change the world. I found it was difficult to change the world, so I tried to change my nation. When I found I couldn't change the nation, I began to focus on my town. I couldn't change the town. And as an older man, I tried to change my family. Now, as an old man, I realize the only thing I can change is myself. And suddenly I realize that if long ago I had changed myself, I could have made an impact on my family. And my family and I could have made an impact on our town. And their impact could have changed the nation. And I could have indeed changed the world." So being salt and light begins within each one of us. We pray for the heart of a servant. We pray that God opens doors, that He gives us new opportunities, new chances for our witness. And we repent, you know, for that salt that's still in the salt shaker and in lights that we have hidden under bushels. But mostly, we spend time with Christ and we nurture His presence and we reflect on His sacrifice. And then we gracefully and gratefully receive His love for us. Because as Paul says in Philippians, we long to know Him more and more. And in knowing Him, we could become more and more who He says we are. You see, we are salt. We are light. That's who we am. Amen.